Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it? Amen. Boy, I enjoyed that wonderful singing this morning. That was so good to hear, and it just sets the tone for the rest of the service, and I'm thankful for that this morning, and much to be in prayer for. I know there's a lot going on in our nation and a lot going on here at home as well. Many, many in need of prayer here in our community and God's healing, and we're going to be trusting the Lord with that absolutely. So, but it's good to be here. Please be in prayer for Sister Brandy and Josh and Sarah. They're traveling to see her mom this morning. And so going down there where it's hot, I think it's going to be pretty toasty down there this week. So be in prayer for them, for safe travels, and all those who are traveling. And again, those who are in different kinds of need, let's be in prayer for each of those. If you will, let's turn to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. This is one of those times where I was studying something different maybe yesterday. And it's all good, by the way. I was thinking about that. It's all good information. It's all God's Word, and it's good. And this morning, waking up, the Lord changed everything, which is absolutely fine. And just in light of everything that's been going on with our country and Israel and Iran and everything, you just see a lot of things, and people have a lot of questions sometimes. And I jokingly was picking around with Brandy, and I don't get on politics, but I got to pick with you a little bit. But she's asking me about things. You know, we were talking about it as we got up, because as we went to bed last night, they were talking about going into Israel or going into Iran and things that are going on there and what have you. So I wanted to see the news this morning, and it just really caught my attention how it was. I went to YouTube and was kind of looking at it there, because you can read articles and what have you. I was looking at YouTube, and I can't remember exactly what I searched, but I guess war in Israel, Iran, kind of is how we did that. But what was interesting is at the bottom, when you start seeing exactly all the different newscasts that they have, I saw it was like PBS, CSNBC, MSNBC, or what have you, CBS, and then it had CNN and Fox and everything, and I was just picking around with Brandy, and I said, well, I guess we better flip it over to Fox so we get our narrative of what we want to hear what happened. Isn't that something? It goes along with what I said maybe last week about how people say, this is my truth. Well, there's only one truth. There's only one truth. You might have opinions. You might have different takes. But let me tell you this morning, there's only one truth. You might have different viewpoints, but there's only one truth. And I love how the Word of God proclaims it. And Jesus Himself, He's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say a truth. He didn't say His truth. He said the truth. So that tells me, singular, there is one truth. One truth. And something that I think really obscures our truth or obscures our viewpoints sometimes, or obscures things, is how we can get wrapped up in things on this earth. I'm talking about politics, a political stance and what have you. I understand that there's a left and there's a right and everything, but I caution you to be careful with that. I heard something this week that I thought was so good. They were talking about the left wing and the right wing, but they're attached to the same bird. And I thought, man, I'd never heard that. Isn't that something? Same organization, the same thing, if you will. And I thought, that's kind of interesting to see there. You know, maybe once upon a time, you could take a left or a right stance, but I want you to know something. They're all corrupt. I just want to go ahead and tell you that right now. It's all corrupt. So you can look at whichever side you want to. You can look at whichever news broadcast you want to, but I tuned in somewhere this morning that I want to share with you that I know is right. Have you ever looked in KJV? Have you ever looked in there? You can say, man, it's okay. I tuned in there this morning. You know what? I could trust every single word that I read. Didn't have any questions, didn't have any concerns. Like, is this right? Is this a false narrative? Is this, can I trust this? I want you to know this morning, you can trust it. You can trust it. You said, preacher, you sure? I'm positive. I'll tell you this. This is how convinced I am. Everything that I have, I'm staking on that. I'm putting my confidence on that. And what I mean by that, not just my temporal life, but my eternal life, I am staking on that. my faith, my confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of myself, because I can't boast of anything. I'm imperfect. I can't offer you anything but the truth. That's what I'm here to give you this morning. People want to ask about things. Is this the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do? And I've spent enough time in local government to know you don't tell everything you know to the public. If you're trying to work any kind of missions and things, surprise missions or what have you, especially in battle, they're not going to tell us everything that they're doing and all the information they have. We want to feel good about what's going on, or maybe sometimes we feel bad about what's going on, but the reality is, on this earth, with that system, you will never have all the information. Never. So if you're trying to find solace in that, you're not going to get it. You're not going to have it. And then what happens after that? Politics comes into play. People decide if they're going to take one side or the other, and they'll either love this side or this person, this leader, or hate them, and that obscures everything they say outside of that. Even if you like the guy that's in now, there's a side that hates him. Wait a few years, it'll change, and it'll be the same thing on the opposite side. That's how it happens. That's how it works. But what people do is they make decisions based upon how they like or dislike this person. That's a waste of time. That's a waste of time. You're hearing what they want you to believe is the truth. But I am so thankful this morning that I can present the truth to you so you can know for yourself. You don't have to question things and wonder about things. And what has really surprised me in just reading things, and I don't, you know, get caught up in it or whatever, but sometimes you read things from people and you think, well, why is this person saying that? I thought this person is a person that goes to church, and maybe you have a more rooted and grounded idea of what is going on. They got caught up in politics. They weren't paying attention to the Word of God. If you lose sight of the Word of God, you're heading down the wrong path. Amen. If you're not spending your time in the Word of God, you're not even on the path. You're hearing other people's opinions and what they think, but I want to share you the truth this morning about Israel. People are like, why are we even doing this? Why is the United States, why are they jumping in and doing this versus Israel letting them do it themselves? Maybe to some people that's a good question. And the more I thought about that, I wanted to share what the Bible has to say about that with you this morning. This is Scripture. And maybe you've heard a lot of this, maybe you haven't, but I know we've got a lot of young people that's probably never heard it. It's one thing to say, and maybe you kind of know bits and pieces, it's one thing to say, well, I know it's in the Bible, and we need to do this because the Bible says we need to do this. What you need to know is the actual why. You need to be able to see the verses, and you can go back and say that this is why this is that important. You think about land. There's a lot of things out there, finances, money. People will fight over money and things like that. But I'd say right there at the very top, people will fight you over their land. That's one of the things I've seen out taking pictures and doing things, working around real estate a little bit. If there is a property stake right there, there's times a neighbor will come out and they'll wait to see if you step on their blade of grass and say, hey, you're on the wrong side. People will fight you over land. Now you think about Israel. You think about the battle. Brandy and I were talking about this. She said, what are they fighting about anyway? Why is this fight not over with? This has been a fight for ages. This fight was way before we got here. But you know what? This fight could end while we're still here, though. Nothing says that it can't. You see, the thing about it is, there's not a political power that can bring this thing to resolution. Not one. There's not one person that can bring this to resolution here on this earth. This is already set up. This is already set in motion. I can already tell you, the outcome has already been determined. So you think about it like that. If you're watching a replay of your favorite basketball team, football team, and you're watching the replay, but you already know who won, you're just kind of watching it unfold, but you already know the outcome. Think about that, church. Think about what we have in the Word of God. We already have the outcome. We know what's going to happen. And if we know that, why would we not follow each step all the way through and find confidence in it? You know, there's a part, and you'll see it this morning, how things hinge. Am I on the right side of this, or am I on the wrong side of this? That's the question you need to think about. Because there are two sides. There's a right and a wrong. There is absolutely a right and a wrong side that you can be on, and the Word of God teaches that. And that's what I want us to see this morning. But this morning, the title is, Why Israel? Why Israel? You know, some people, I think they're burnt out with them, and they're fighting, and they don't want the United States to get involved with anything, and don't want our military involved, and absolutely do not want the loss of life or anything like that. Who would want that rightfully? Who would want that? But you know, if you read back in the Word of God, there's so many battles. I don't know how many. And there's times in the Word of God that you will see that He ordered the nation of Israel to slew every single man, woman, and child, and any animal, anything living, to slew them all. Isn't that something to think about? When God wants something utterly destroyed, He will have it utterly destroyed. You go back and you look at Saul. He learned that where obedience is better than sacrifice. And I tell you, there's a lot here in the Word of God. And I know, thank God, we live in the grace age. But this is going to wrap up very quickly when it wraps up. I want you to know that. I think sometimes we kind of watch things play out and we think it's just going to kind of keep going. But do you ever think about the end of your life? You ever think about that? Not being morbid, but I'm just saying. It'll happen one of two ways. It'll happen by the grave or Jesus Christ coming back. But I want you to know this. When it happens quickly. It's one thing to watch something play out, but it's another thing to know. When it happens very quickly. When the Lord, when some of these battles, when it fell upon these people and because of their disobedience and their idolatry and things, it happened instantly. But they had been given a warning. They had a space of time for repentance. See, that's what this grace age is. What a long period of time God has given us to extend His mercy, to extend His grace to this all this world. You think about the good side and the bad side. You know He's extending grace to both sides? Everyone. You know, you think about these other nations where these battles are taking place. You know, God, Jesus Christ, died for them just like He died for us. He died for all. That all, it's not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I got to get started this morning, but Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, I thought it'd be good to start at the beginning this morning and go through a few verses this morning. And I'll try not to be too lengthy, but I want us to understand some things when you think about what's going on in Israel. Genesis 12, 1, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Lord, we come to you this morning again, thanking you so much for the truth, God, that you've given to us, that we can read it, we can cherish it, Lord, we can love it, we can trust it, we can believe in it. And God, I just thank you so much for your preservation of it, God, that we can read it accurately and know what the truth is without wondering or just questioning, God. But we can read it and place confidence in it, Lord, knowing all these things that have already come to pass, Lord, has been proven in your word. These prophecies, these things that were written in the Old Testament so many years ago, Lord, we see those things come to light. And I just thank you for that and the confidence that we can have in it. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each heart here this morning. God, any concerns, any questions, God, that they may have, Lord, I just pray that you help them this morning, Lord. Those lost people this morning, God, I pray that you touch their hearts and convict them, Lord. This is winding down so quickly, and this is so real, God, and people need to understand that, know the truth, and be able to make that decision, God, before it's too late. God, I pray that you help me, Lord, be with me. Help me to say everything the way you'd have me to and nothing out of line or context, God. I just want you to be pleased this morning. Just a mouthpiece, a servant of you, God. I just want you to be pleased with me this morning, God. And Lord, be with our church. Keep us safe. All those who are sick, Lord, those who are traveling, we think about them this morning and pray for them. Father, I ask and pray that you be with them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I think it's good to kind of start at the beginning when you look at the inception of Israel, where it came from, how it came to be. It wasn't a nation that always was. It's not just something that was there, a nation of people, a race of people, a group of folks there, but it was a way, it was someone that God, a group of people that God himself wanted to prepare, present, and to build and to grow, because it's something he wanted to do. When you say, well, why? I know a lot of people saw a lot of times say, well, why? Well, why? Why Israel? Why? Well, I tell you, I can't question God. His ways are so far above mine. His thoughts are so far above mine. I can't tell you the why all the time. I just have to take what he says at face value and trust it, or pay the consequences if I don't. He's the creator. When you're the creator, you have that authority and that ability to do what you want to do. But I want to tell you this morning, thankfully, God is a righteous God. He's a just God. And as long as you surrender to him, he's going to take care of you. If you're one of his and you're outside of his will, he'll do what it takes to chastise you and bring you back in. That's part of who he is as our father. But you see, here's the inception. God makes a promise to Abraham. And in making this promise, he also prepares him. I want you to know this morning that what you see here as a nation, as an overall big thing, it's probably the top news line about all the time, especially right now, but you see how big it is. But God also, he works with you and I in the same way. He deals with us in the same way. He told Abraham to get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the country that you're in, and I'm going to send you to a new place to do something that I've called you to do. And it's amazing because, you know, that's really the basis of who we are, what we do as church members, pastors, missionaries. It's very much the same way. God deals with us in that same manner. It takes us to get outside of our comfort zone. And I tell you here, I'd say this was kind of tough for Abraham. He's trying to figure these things out. And the Lord's telling him to leave where you're at, where you have it made. You have everything together. Leave there. Get out of that country and from thy kindred, thy family, and from their father's house into a land that I will show thee. And this is the promise. He's saying you're going to have to move first. After the movement, he gives the promise. And he says, and I'll make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's good. I mean, wouldn't you like to be given a promise like that? The Lord saying, I'm going to do something special with you in your life. And I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to many nations. That's big. When you look at it that way, that's big time. Not just your family and your friends, but to many nations, to the whole world, I'm going to make you a blessing. That's a big deal. That's a lot that the Lord is promising here. And then he goes on to say this here. Look at verse number 3. And it says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's everybody. That includes you and me. I remember when Brother Freed was here, he was talking about the different inventions maybe or medications and different things that came out of Israel. That's amazing that God has allowed that to happen. I thought about this yesterday, thinking about the importance of what God calls you to do. God doesn't call everybody to be a preacher. He doesn't call everybody to be a deacon. He doesn't call everybody to do the same thing. But he calls people that are willing to surrender and do what he wants them to do. And it's okay to be passionate about that. I thought about some of these medications and these inventions and what have you, that where people had tried it and failed. What if they had given up? What if they had stopped? You think about having electricity, you know, to some people that wasn't that important. I'll just turn a candle on. You know, some people just kind of set in their ways. We've just always done it this way. And if that was the mentality, we'd be sitting here by candlelight. But we're not. We'd be sitting here without air conditioning. But we're not. Isn't it something how God placed on people certain things that they could do that would make life better for people? That amazes me. Everybody's not called to do the same thing, but everybody has a calling of God that they are supposed to answer. You know, I've heard it said like this before too. People take, I won't say pride, but it's a good thing when somebody says, you know, this is a Christian-owned business. Well, that's good. You feel like maybe you can trust them or you have something similar with them and what have you. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But what you see here is how he is being called. And he's saying that he will bless them. You know, I could stop the message right here and that would get the point across, or it should.
Why Israel? Because God said right here, He will bless those that stand with Him and He'll curse those who don't. It's that simple. You know, I don't think the world really cares about that. A lot of the world, when you look at the Word of God, they'll say, well, that's just what the Bible says. What does it say outside the Bible? Well, what about the world? That's up to them. But this is what God said. The creator of this nation and the creator of this world, this earth, that's what He said to do. I think it's important that we take His word at it. I want us to go to Genesis 15. I'm going to try to hurry through this and not keep us too long, but I want to get the point across this morning. You see the promise that He gave Abraham. That was the starting point. But I kind of tell you this morning, that was a starting point for Abraham, but God always had that in His plan. You think about Jeremiah before he is formed in his mother's womb, the Lord knew him. Same goes for you and me. Before we were formed, He knew us. He knew what He wanted us to do. He has a plan for every single one of us. I tell you, it's like this. You say, I want a big plan. I'll tell you this. You want the plan that God has for you because that's the plan that's going to be most fulfilling to you. That'll be the biggest plan to you. I want you to know that this morning. You ever get where God wants you to be and Him placing you where He wants you to be? That's where you'll be most happy and most fulfilled. And God knows how to do that. He knows us. He knows how we are. He knows what's fulfilling to us. And He knows how to give us the desires that He wants us to have. But what's interesting about this is you see the promise that was given. But now let's say He said, Abraham, I'm going to leave this up to you. Now you just see it through and make it happen. Boy, we'd have been in a mess, wouldn't we? Think about how Abraham was and the pressures maybe that he had. And he's thinking, we're going to have, out of me is going to be this nation. But guess what? My wife, I love my wife. My wife, she can't have children. Lord, this makes no sense at all. Makes no sense. How? How are you going to do this? How? And that's how we are today with things going on in our life. The Lord will give us an inclination or a calling in our heart. And then we start asking Him questions. How? How? Because it's not all laid out. I don't see it all. And the Lord says, just trust me. Lord, I want more than that. He says, just trust me. See, that's what He said to Abraham and Sarah. And you remember how that happened. But when she was barren, Sarah was barren, couldn't have children. And then they thought they could take it upon themselves. And here comes Ishmael. And that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't the child of promise. He had a plan. So He knew better than to leave it to Abraham. See, God knows everything. And you say, I know that, but do you really know that? Do you believe that? I want you to think about that. Did you know that when Jesus went to the cross, for people like you and me, for people like we're seeing on the news, for the vilest sinner, the vilest murderer, than maybe the sweetest child that you think sweeter but still lost is the vilest murderer, did you know that Jesus Christ knew what He was getting into when He went to the cross? Thought about that this morning. He knew exactly what He was getting into before He went to the cross, and He did it anyway. You know, I'll tell you this. When I accepted the Lord, praise God, I didn't know what all I was getting into. He's amazing. Ain't nobody like Him. Ain't nobody like Jesus. And I'll tell you, if you want to follow somebody and you want to get in somebody, you want to trust somebody, it's Jesus, I promise you that. You'll see these promises here. You know, this is promises that He made to Israel, and I can't take those promises. He didn't make those to me. He made those promises to Israel. Now, He's made promises to you and I in the church, and I hold on to those promises. But guess what? They're both true. He can make promises to two different people, two different nations, two different groups of people, and that's absolutely fine. What's really interesting, too, is how He can graft those two in together, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, the Gentile people, and graft them in together and make us one family of believers, those who are willing to accept Him. I tell you, when you see these things come together, the promise that was made here, that's how He works with people, and He made this promise. I want to read this, Genesis 15, 12 through 18. He knew exactly what He's getting into. But yet He didn't leave it up to Abraham to see it through. He saw it through himself. He's saying, I'm making this promise and I am making this covenant. I want you to think about this. The way this worked in the Old Testament, they would have a sacrifice. They would sacrifice the animal. They'd lay the animal parts and pieces of that body. They'd lay it out. And the two members, the two different people of the contract, the two parties, would walk between the middle of that to signify. That's like signing the contract. That's how he would do it. That's how it was done in the Old Testament. So that way we would walk through together. Abraham and the Lord would have walked through together during this covenant, this contract, to say, I'm in agreement and I'm going to see this through. Typically, that's how it would work. But I want you to see something right here.
Genesis 15, chapter number 12 again, it says, and when the sun was going down, it was time to sign the contract. It's time for the covenant to take place. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of a great darkness fell upon him. The Lord put Abraham to sleep. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with a great substance. Talking about the Babylonian, the captivity, and what have you there. And they shall go unto the fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Now this is when Abraham's asleep. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying unto thy seed have I given this land, and from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
Now, I want you to see something here. Taking note of this, you see what it was. If those two people had walked through together, it was on both of them to see it through. God put Abraham to sleep. And that fiery furnace, you know who that represents? The Lord himself. And he said, I'm coming through in the midst of you. I'm the one that's making this promise. See, that's not contingent on Abraham at that point. It takes him out of the picture. The Lord didn't allow human error to mess this up. He said, I promised you. He said, I gave this to you. Now, my land, let's say I pay my house off and what have you, and I have the title deed in my hand. And I walk up to Brother Raymond, I say, Brother Raymond, here it is, you can have it. Guess what? I've got the authority to do that. And as the creator of this world, the owner of this world, all creation, God has the authority to give that land to who he wants to have it. And guess who he gave it to? Abraham and Israel. You say, whoa, how do they have the right? They don't even want to call them a state. They don't even want to recognize them as a union. The world doesn't. But yet God says, I'm giving it to you. It's his promise. Look how that's written.
In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river Euphrates and to the great river Euphrates. He is the one who gave it. Nobody can take that away. You can't withdraw that. That's an unconditional promise. That's a promise made by God and the Creator himself. Why? Why Israel? Why did he choose this people? Why? Why them? Why Israel? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter number 7 for just a minute.
You know, we get caught up, I'm telling you, we get caught up in whys all the time. Little whys and big whys and trying to figure things out. And we try to justify it in our minds. And there's things that in life that we don't know. We still try to justify it, but the reality is, if you don't know it, you don't know it. But I want to give you the answer right here. Why Israel? This is the answer again from the creator of everything and the creator of the nation of Israel himself. This is the why.
If you start arguing this point, you'll just honestly have to argue it with God. So Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses 6 through 10. These are good scriptures to have. If people start asking questions, I know people talk and have questions. Our young people have questions and you want to share things. This is good information to share. It's straight from the Word of God. You look at verse number 6, again, 6 through 10, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Keep in mind this covenant that was given. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now, this is the nation of Israel. This is what they're supposed to teach their children. You talk about history. We hold history pretty in high esteem a lot of times, and I think that's why it tries to be rewritten, so people don't really know what happened. Everything's a question mark again, and it's like we were talking about in Sunday school. That's what the devil uses as his greatest weapon, is the question mark. "Yea, hath God said?" Try to have questions, but we are supposed to teach our children. That's what's being instructed here, that the Israelites teach their children all the time. When they're going to bed, when they're getting up, all throughout the day is what it's showing here. Verse number 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and shall be as frontlets between thy eyes." That means it's always there. It's a promise. And it's always there to be before them. "And thou shalt write them upon the posts and on the gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into a land which he sware to thy fathers Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great goodly cities which thou buildest not." And okay, I was in 6. So I'm in the wrong chapter, but that's good anyway. Let me get over to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. I was in the wrong one. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 10. I apologize. "So why Israel? For thou art an holy people, for the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." See, God has chosen Israel. God is the one that did the choosing. It was up to him, and he's the one who did the choosing. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." Now, when you take that into consideration, God didn't look at what he was going to build in Israel because they were the biggest. They're the biggest in number. See, like you and I, a lot of times with human nature, what we do is we look at people, we look on the outside. We say, if we're going to get into this battle, I want the biggest, I want the baddest person that can fight with me. That's what I want. And it's a superficial way of looking at things. It's a very easy way. When you think about when Saul was chosen as king, he was a foot taller. Israel wanted somebody that they could put out there and say, "Look, this is our king. Look how nice. Look how he's taller than your king. He's bigger than your king." Looking on the outside, but I tell you, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside if the inside is not right with God. Doesn't matter. I tell you, give me the smallest with God in your heart, and I tell you, you'll go further. I heard it said this week, if you are with God, you are in the majority. That's all it takes. You and him is the majority of staying with him. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt." And so right there, the simple answer to that question, why Israel, is because the Lord thy God loved you. That's the why. And you know what? That's enough for me. I don't have to argue it and this and right. And you say, "Well, that's not even a promise to me." No, but it still blesses my heart. The better they do, the better I do. I'm in partnership with Israel. I'm not against them. I want you to know this too, and I thought about this. Can Israel do wrong? Yes, they can. Have they done wrong? All the time. That's a good portion of what you read in the Old Testament. Now, I tell you, when I say I stand with Israel and I believe in Israel and I say back them, I'm not telling you they're perfect. I'm not saying that. You look at all the things that happened in the Old Testament, and when he would send the judges and everything that come down, the chastisement came because of their unbelief. You talk about they'd get in idolatry. You know, it's something to think about the United States. We think about it. It's almost accepted now that
We're a heathen nation in a lot of ways. That's sad. But you think about God's chosen people, that's how they acted. They fell in idolatry, worshiping golden calves, worshiping Baal and all those kind of things. All that came in. You think God chastised them? Yes, they did. Yes, he did. They're not a perfect people. In no way, shape, form, or fashion am I telling you that they're a perfect people and they always get it right. They don't, but one day they will at the end. It all does come back together. One day they are going to recognize their king. But I tell you, it's not until he returns. Look at this again. Verse number 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. That's what he did with Abraham. That's the oath that he was talking about. He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And I'll tell you this, Zechariah 2:8. If you don't have this circled in your Bible, you might want to have that. It says here, Zechariah 2:8, it says, he is the apple of God's eye. I'm going to turn over there real quick and read it for you. It says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory he has sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Now, I want you to realize this too. When the Lord allowed a foreign nation to come in and overtake Israel, it was because of their disobedience. You look at what's going on right now, it's a disobedient nation. You look at what's going on. The Lord's waiting on them to turn back to him. Think about our nation. The Lord is wanting us to turn back to him. I don't know why it's even in question. You say, well, you know, we believe this way, but a lot of people don't believe that way. Why? You know, a lot of folks will say they believe in God and that they've accepted him, but yet they still don't want to follow or believe in his truths. I don't understand that. I don't think they see the importance of it. But again, I want you to know when it happens, it's going to happen very, very quickly. When this thing comes to an end. Let's go to Psalm chapter number 122. I'm going to close here this morning. I don't tend to be that long this morning. But why Israel? God has made these promises to Israel. He's going to see those things through. You think about the Battle of Armageddon to come in. I won't go in great detail there, but you think about how that's going to come to be. The nations are going to surround Israel. Israel's going to be returning home. We see that happening already. We see people returning back to their homeland. We talked to Brother Freed, different ones, about that and the desire to go back home, being called back home. When the Antichrist takes his place and he starts inviting people back to Israel, he's going to make a covenant with them. There'll be a covenant. For the first 3.5 years, everything's going to look good, but it's going to be during the tribulation. But after that midpoint, he's going to break the covenant with Israel. All these nations are going to surround him. You look at it now, I know we get bits and pieces of things, but it's not there yet, but it could soon happen, is what I want you to see. You think about all these nations, you think about the nation of United States. Once upon a time, you think, no, we know better than that. We know better than that. But you look at what you see around the world, the protest and everything that's going on. They're wanting us to turn our back on Israel. You know how detrimental that would be to us, how sad that'd be to all nations. Again, whoever blesses them, he will bless, and those who curse them, they will be cursed. This is a song of David here, something that the Bible has given us to do, and I thought a lot about this. You probably heard it here said many times. Psalm 122. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city, is compact together. It's talking about their unity. You think about how they look at Jerusalem, how David loved Jerusalem, how the Lord loves Jerusalem. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, and to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, talking about how things can be, how they want things to be, how things will be in the millennial reign. And we're talking about a future tense that's coming here. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. But when you look at verse number 6, look what it says there. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. That's a promise that is even made to us. Those that want to stand with Israel, with Jerusalem, praying for their peace, if we want to prosper, we better stay with Israel. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I want you to know the importance of that. I think there will come a time in generation. I know how things go from generation to generation. A lot of times, it doesn't get more sincere. A lot of times, it gets less sincere. It gets further and further away. That's what happened with Nineveh. They all repented. Just a few years later, they all turned their back on God. That was something that was old. I want you to know this morning, the promises of God are forever true. I want you to know that. I say it like this. People, I hear it said all the time, times have changed. You know, times do change. People say, oh, you can't. Yeah, times change. Fads change. What people wear change. We don't wear what they wore in the Old Testament, do we? We don't. You think about how things change and what we wear today. You wait just a few years and it'll change. It'll change. People change. But God does not change. When he says, I change not, that's what I want you to see this morning about the importance of what God has promised in his word. Why Israel? Because he made that promise and it hasn't changed and it's not going to change. And I want us to see that this morning. If you will, stand with me. I'll ask Sister Allison, Sister Kathy, if they'll come to the instruments.